Welcome to your Coach Mageddon podcast, everyone. Scrambled Eggs here, Joe McCann and Phil Bush, as a part of Crack Sidewalks, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. And Phil, worst March ever?
yeah. I was trying to think of something funny to say, but I'm just so depressed I can't.
Yeah. This has not been the best March, to say the least, for Marquette basketball fans. Of course, if you're tuning into this podcast, you certainly know by now that Buzz Williams is on his way to Virginia Tech, set to be introduced on Monday. What we're going to go over on this podcast today, obviously, what happened, why did it happen, how do we feel about it, and then we'll talk about what Marquette's next move today. And we're just going to go through it here, Phil. I guess what I don't want to do today is come off as the bitter, jilted lover and things like that and totally discredit anything Buzz has ever done. But I just want to try to wrap my head around what the heck happened.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if we're not going to get any bitterness, then I should probably excuse myself from the podcast.
No, we can get a little bitter. I'm just going to try. I'll pump the brakes on the bitterness if you want to get all...
No, I agree. Well, first of all, do you have an adult beverage to help you get through this?
I do.
What are you drinking today?
I'm drinking Miller Lite, of course.
Oh,
the nectar
okay.
of the gods there in Milwaukee. Yes. I am loyal to Milwaukee, unlike some others.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Very loyal to Milwaukee. I, on the other hand, have gone with a very robust 7.5% by alcohol bourbon barrel aged amber Louis Resurrection by Milwaukee Brewing. I needed something a little stiffer to get it.
That is... Well, you got really specific on me there.
Well, I love Milwaukee Brewing. What can I say?
It's a great place. It really is. Some like it more than others. Buzz
true.
Obviously didn't.
Maybe that's what chased Buzz away. Yeah. He just couldn't get along with Milwaukee Brewing.
Maybe that's it. I guess maybe Buzz isn't a big drinker.
Right.
Buzz obviously was not a fan of Marquette. Let's just put that out there. And it's pretty obvious that the love affair between Buzz Williams and Marquette had grown sour. Because... with all respect to Virginia Tech, this is a step down for Buzz. It's a lesser basketball program. He's taking less money, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, the deal is reportedly 7 years, $18 million. That averages about $2.5 million a year. And while we don't have specifics on what Buzz was making, it is reportedly much closer to $3 million a year, or was much closer to $3 million a year at Marquette, and it could have ballooned up to
the other things that Marquette offered, from facilities and what we all believe to be the second highest basketball budget in the country by any team not named Duke.
Right.
So
what was it about? Why did he leave?
Well, that's the thing. That's the other part. And we've talked about it a little bit on the side, but everybody's got their own kind of – they're backing their own horse. You've got the Buzz camp. You've got the Marquette camp. You've got the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot camp. You got a whole bunch of different camps, so you got to see who's saying what. Jeff Goodman, kind of published some stuff from through ESPN, and he more often than not is kind of a Buzz mouthpiece. And his kind of thing was, well, the conference is reduced, and he didn't like the administration. The one thing to touch on right now with the administration, are you kidding me? They got rid of the administration because they clashed with Buzz.
Yeah, that's the part that puzzles me, is if they were sticking with Larry Williams and Larry Williams was still at Marquette, I would say, okay, well, this is just the power struggle and Larry Williams won. But
right.
Larry Williams lost.
Right.
At least for now, unless he's going to be rehired next week and that's coming next.
that's the other shoe. Just kidding, Larry, come back.
Boy, I could see it happening too. I don't know how well he was by administration besides Buzz, but that's another topic for another day. But Buzz got the guys he didn't like out of there.
Right.
I mean, and that was the reason Goodman and people were throwing out why Buzz was seriously considering SMU in Minnesota, was that he didn't like the guys he was working for, and that he was looking for a change of scenery. And they're saying now that, when I say they, I mean guys like Goodman and Katz and whoever else, but he's just he was uncertain about the future leadership of Marquette, and he didn't want another new boss.
Well, and rant alert here for a minute. And this is
rant away. We have a full hour to fill.
This is where I have a really significant, and we'll get this out of the way early. This is where I have a really significant issue with Buzz, and in my mind it's still fresh. It's early, but this is way worse than what happened with Crean. Crean may have kind of been a used salesman, and I may not have cared for the way he left the program. But the whole thing was Marquette took a chance with Buzz. I mean, let's rehash history a little bit. Buzz was a little-known head coach at the University of New Orleans who left under a cloud of difficulty, if you will. There was even legal action taking place as a result of that separation. Marquette took on a chance on him, brought him in as an assistant. The next year gave him the keys to the program. Yes, he went and won some games, but one would argue that's fair that he won out and went deep in March because they paid him a lot of money and they invested a lot of money in basketball. They got rid of administration that he was clashing with, and in exchange for all that benefit Marquette gave him, he went, and when Marquette needed him to stick with them because they don't have any leadership in the form of a president, an AD, a provost, they're in a brand new conference, and they had a down basketball year, what does Buzz do? He leaves it out of town to go to a worse situation because he's unhappy. So that, at the end of the day, is what drives me insane about this, is because I bought into his whole character revealed. And everything I see tells me we got his character revealed, that Buzz was about Buzz, and everything around what he was doing was a marketing spiel. And that's what just offends me to no end, because I want Marquette to be more than just a basketball program. I want it to be about the character of the players involved and building, young men and believing in the cura personalis kind of thing and the total person. And that, and I thought that's what Buzz was. And clearly at this point, that's not what he was at all. It was a marketing tool, if nothing else.
Well, and maybe that's true, maybe that's not. Like you said, we may never know truly what was going on behind the scenes. And now I'll say this, a lot of people who covered Buzz and have been around Buzz really like him and respect him and say he's a heck of a nice guy. And a lot of people who have spent a lot of time with Buzz and covered him through it, whether it's at Marquette, like Marquette University TV or the Marquette Tribune or reporters in Milwaukee, or guys like Goodman, they all like him and say he's a heck of a good guy. And, maybe Buzz is, and maybe that's true. And maybe Buzz is, I've never met Buzz. And maybe he is just a heck of a nice guy, a great family man, a great person. He does great things in the community with Buzz's Bunch and things like that. But at the same time, as a businessman, maybe he's kind of unlikable.
Yeah.
And maybe just a little slippery. And I understand, we've all, in our own personal life, we've gone through job changes and have done what is best for us individually and our families individually. We can understand that. But I thought Buzz had a really good situation at Marquette. I don't think he was mistreated. I don't think he was in a bad situation. And I think if he wanted it to work at Marquette, he could have.
Right.
And I think he could have been a little more patient with this administration thing if that was truly an issue for him. If he could have, gone to Cords, who of course is the interim AD right now, and said, look, this is what I have a problem with. Can we work through this? And can I have some say on who we hire as the next athletic director and president and things like that? And maybe the Cords would have said, okay, be a part of the, be a part of the decision-making process. I mean, they've given Buzz everything else. Why not, not that he would have the final say, but to have a word. And I guess that's what bothers me. To me, Buzz was no longer the right guy for Marquette because he just didn't want to be there. Buzz was the right guy 5 years ago. Buzz was the right guy 2 years ago. Buzz was probably still the right guy a year ago. But right now, Buzz is no longer the guy because he didn't want to be there. And that's why I think Marquette can move on and be better from this, is because they are going to get a guy, whoever they hire, it will be 100% committed to Marquette. And maybe Buzz, I'm not saying Buzz wasn't 100% committed, but maybe in a way, maybe I am saying that, because I think he's had one foot out the door for over a year now. The whole SMU thing and Minnesota, and the way Buzz's name came up for every job out there. I mean, just if your school has a football program, Buzz was interested in coaching your basketball team. His name was connected to everything.
And it was always out there. He easily could have said, nope, I'm not interested, and it never got that way.
Yeah, Buzz was always shopping for himself. And I understand if he was looking at Texas. Texas is a great opportunity. And, you know, if a job like Kentucky or Kansas or North Carolina came up, I would understand. And that's why I understood about, you know, and once I got over it, you know, when a coach leaves, you get a little hurt. But eventually, you know, I understood Crean going to Indiana. I get that.
Right.
But to leave just for the sake of leaving is what just baffles me. And the fact that he left just because he wanted to leave and he really didn't care about where he was going necessarily, that's what bothers me as well. Because I think he could have waited another week, 2 weeks, a month. I think there are going to be better jobs open in college basketball if he wanted to leave just for the sake of leaving.
Well, and,
I think
and
there are going to be opportunities for him better than Virginia Tech. And I just – the leaving for this job just tells me he just wanted out at all costs.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I circle it back to, you know, and some of this is kind of confirmation bias and you know, hindsight's 20/20. But, like, if you look at back at during the season – it makes you wonder if during the season he wasn't feeling this way and if that didn't have an impact on the way the season went. I mean,
yeah, I know we're kind of dipping our toes in message board level conspiracy theories here, but I think it's fair to say this. When you are unhappy and when you don't like your job and when you are looking around at things, you're not 100% committed to your job. Not that you're not trying or you're not sabotaging the company you're working with now. But if you are spending your free time looking at other things and you just generally don't like showing up to work every day, your work suffers. And I think it's fair to say Buzz had a bad year.
Yeah.
Just as a coach. Not discrediting anything he had done in the previous five, because the previous five were great. Especially those three Sweet 16 runs were as great as any three-year run Marquette has had maybe since the 70s, honestly.
Right.
But this past year, I think it is beyond fair to say that Buzz had a bad year. And I was, you know, I was pretty confident that he was going to bounce back and be much better going forward had he stuck it out at Marquette. But the way he just couldn't figure out his own rotations, the players he had going out there weren't performing. He was pretty stubborn about switching it up and trying other guys. And they just lost so many close games at the end. I think it's beyond fair to say that his displeasure had a direct effect on his performance at Marquette this season. And that is what is frustrating for me is that he's had his eye on other places for over a year now, and this current team with Devontae Gardner and Jameel Wilson and Chris Otule's senior years, those guys had to suffer for it.
Well, and that's part of what factors in. Oh, whoa, that almost slipped out there.
Yeah.
That's part of what factors into kind of my rant there is around the character revealed is you know, if you look at the timing, I mean, to get this Virginia Tech opportunity. You know, he had to be looking right away. Like, as soon as the whistle blew in Madison Square Gardens, he was looking for something else. And to take that away and be that distracted away from, you know, Devontae Gardner and Chris Otule, who he professes to, you know, to essentially be a son of his. Like, it just – and even looking back on the senior day speeches, like, Buzz was weirdly, like, he's usually a very passionate and, like, long-winded advocate for Marquette basketball, and it was just a kind of a, you know, and we talked about it a little bit in the first the last pod was, you know, it was a little bit disjointed, it was kind of quick, and it was just kind of that's it.
Yeah.
I, you know, it just feels like he's, you know, to your point, he's had a foot out the door, and like I said, it's revisionist history, because I've probably been the closest thing to a Buzz apologist for the last year or so. And maybe that's part of, you know, what makes it even worse for me is because, you know, I had bought everything hook, line, and sinker. But I just, you know, to kind of waste the senior years of some players that, you know, stuck through them through thick and thin is kind of not, I don't want to say sleazy, but it's not very kind.
Yeah, I'll say this in defense of Buzz. You know, coaches really can't make decisions on their futures based on the kids who are there, because the kids are there at most, except for, you know, the Otule situation,
right,
at most for 4 years, and kids transfer on him all the time, and in the cases of Jameel McKay, they transfer 2 days
immediately.
Maybe
Jameel got wind of what was going on and said, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, he did troll Marquette a little bit when Buzz announced that thing, but like,
oh, I missed that.
He did throw out, like, he said something to the effect of, oh, so now I'm not the most hated guy to leave Milwaukee anymore, huh, or something.
Oh,
like that.
Nice.
But I will say, to your point about the timeline for this thing, I don't know if you saw, it was on Twitter, as we're recording this, just before that, on Saturday afternoon, Paint Touches retweeted. It was a link on Reddit. I don't use that site very much.
But anyway. Gets crazy over there.
It is. But it's like a almost like a huge message board. But anyway, a fan made a post on there, and it was on – it was like timestamp Monday at 1 a.m. And it's – and he said – the post said that Buzz is on his way to Virginia Tech. I just heard a conference commissioner talking about it on the phone at the airport.
Whoa.
So that's Monday at 1 a.m. So just a few hours after Selection Sunday was over.
Wow.
Because that's Sunday night. Now, granted, that's just Reddit. That's a message board. But take that for what it is. Let's just say for just a brief second that that is accurate and that Monday at 1 a.m. this was done.
Well, and keep in mind, that fits in with the fact that Cords – I saw it in a tweet, which is how we get all news these days. I don't know if it was an official statement from him or not, but he said, you know, the tweet was attributed to Cord saying this was not unexpected, Buzz leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so predominantly, you know, that fits in that timeline. All right, let's say Monday, you know, immediately after Selection Sunday, he was out looking at that job, which presumes he was in contact prior to that. You know, that and Marquette kind of not making any action to keep him and, you know, not being blindsided by this. There's a whole lot of weird things going on I just don't get.
Yeah. Not to get into, again, message board level conspiracy stuff, but boy, that sure was convenient for him that Marquette didn't get in the NIT and also declined CBI invites.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. That starts to make sense.
Yeah, again, I don't want to get into conspiracy level stuff. I don't want to say anything,
but I definitely heard about Buzz Williams tweeting something about MH370. I don't know what it was in reference to. So, you know, we'll leave the conspiracy theories to others.
Yeah. Very convenient, just like, you know, that Buzz's Bunch piece airing on a weekend when he was not going to be in the tournament. Just very convenient for Buzz, good for Buzz.
Like I said, that's the thing is, you know, he's got this whole down-home persona that he gives out. The, you know, I'm going to be here as long as they'll have me. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that Buzz made this decision, not Marquette.
Yeah.
You know, And he gets the Buzz, which I applaud the Buzz's Bunch. That's great. But you're basically signing a contract or negotiating a contract from a brand new school, and you're letting somebody else run an entire piece about how the only thing you wanted when you came to Marquette was a long-term contract and to be able to have Buzz's Bunch. I mean, it's kind of gross, actually.
Yeah, it's just a little awkward to me to watch that piece now.
Right.
You know, the stories with the kids are terrific, but it was just a little awkward to see it now and to know that Buzz had a foot out the door when that thing ran. That
right.
He was probably on the phone with Virginia Tech while that thing was running. So, makes it a little uncomfortable
for
me.
Well, yeah, and again, like, you really question, like, what, you know, the whole season. Like, we've talked about some of the players, and if you look back on it, did Buzz make decisions within the season based on what was going on? And he was certainly more chippy with the media and with the fans in general.
He definitely got his feelings hurt a lot.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't handle losing very well.
Right.
He didn't handle criticism very well. And I guess to be fair, maybe that's all new to him. I mean, at New Orleans, no one even – calm down, Leo. Down, Leo. But Leo's upset about this.
Yeah, Leo's ready to attack Buzz, I think.
Leo is Buzz's dog, Phil's dog, for those who don't know. But anyway, where was I on that whole thing?
He didn't take criticism well.
Yeah, he didn't take criticism well, but, you know, when he was at New Orleans, no one even knew what was going on, because who cares about New Orleans, you know, UNO basketball down there?
Right.
I mean, that's LSU football all the time. But when in Milwaukee, at Marquette, when it's basketball all the time, people care about it, and people get upset about it when the team isn't going well. And he probably took offense to that, saying, you know, maybe he took that to mean that the last 5 years meant nothing to you guys. Well, of course they meant something to us. We were really proud of it. We were just enjoying the success.
Right.
And we just didn't like what was going on in the court. I think you can criticize a guy and still like him.
Right.
I mean,
well, and, you know, yeah, you, and if you're that thin-skinned that a bunch of message board yahoos that know very little about basketball get you upset because they dared to suggest alternative strategies to what you're doing, then why are you a Division I coach at a major basketball program?
Yeah, and maybe that's what he likes. Thing is, I'm torn about this Virginia Tech thing still. Maybe that's what he likes about it, is he just wants to go somewhere where there's no expectations. But the thing is, Buzz is so competitive and wants to win. Is he going to be happy going, you know, 7-9 every year? And is that an 8-8 and just barely getting to the tournament? Is that going to, like, thrill him and make him excited to come to work every day? Because eventually I think he wants to win at the highest level and win national championships. And so I just don't see that happening with Virginia Tech and the ACC.
Well, and I don't view this necessarily. I know I've been pretty critical of Buzz in this podcast, and I don't view this as a criticism per se, but I think he's very much a guy, quietly, and it kind of goes unnoticed, I think he likes to be the center of attention. Okay, how are you going to be the center of attention when you're at Virginia Tech, where football will always be king?
Right.
And you have at least six other programs in your same conference that command way more respect than yours do, and you don't have any players coming. You know, the talented Virginia Tech, even admittedly by Virginia Tech fans of the basketball program, is down. The cover's pretty bare. How is he going to get attention?
Yeah, Virginia Tech is what, like, the, I don't know, what, maybe the fourth best program in their own state?
Yeah.
You know, Virginia is great right now, and VCU is very strong. Richmond is good, and I'm probably leaving out a few others, but
that's the thing more than anything. I could have handled, I obviously would have been upset because I was, you know, a fan of Buzz's work, but it just, the whole thing sounds so inexplicable. Like, it defies logic. We touched on it with Goodman's report. You know, one of it was the administration, which we talked about, and the other was the conference, that Buzz was concerned about the new Big East and impacting recruiting. And it's like, yeah, the ACC is a great conference. They got just as many teams into the NCAA tournament this season as the Big East did from a percentage standpoint. They both got 40% of their teams in. Yeah. And you're going to be like the 7th, 8th, 9th best team in that conference. How is that going to help recruiting?
Yeah, well, this past year they were DFL
right
there at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so he's got some work to do there. But you know, one thing I do want to touch on, just to be – I try to want to at least touch on both sides of this thing.
I don't. And I have no interest, so please go ahead.
But I do want to say it's fair that Marquette is not blameless here. If, you know, with all the changes in leadership – that was disappointing.
Right.
And this is, and another side of it is the Big East and the Fox Sports 1 deal maybe make the conference a little less attractive right now. And from those perspectives, I can understand at least a little bit what Buzz did as far as at least wanting to leave. But just going to Virginia Tech and going to a 2-16 team, 2-14, whatever they were last year.
Right.
Going to that program is just the part I still can't get over, but there are at least some reasons for Buzz leaving that I can understand.
That's where I try to nuance my irrationality a little bit, is that I can see a case for Buzz leaving. You know, like I talked about when I mentioned Tom Crean, the hated one, I get him.
I do want
to
come back to
Crean
in a second, by the way.
What's that?
I do want to come back to Crean in a second.
Yeah,
keep going.
I'm scared. I heard a rumor, which clearly can't be true, but that's neither here nor there.
No,
but
keep going.
Anyway, you know, Crean left for Indiana. I get that. I told, you know, whether the way he left was appropriate or not, I get going to Indiana. I understand the concept of Buzz leaving to go somewhere else, given all the variables that may be at play. But leaving a premier, perennial top 30 basketball program to go to a bottom feeder in the ACC with nothing, clearly he wanted out. I mean, that's the only conclusion that makes sense. And then it just comes down to, why did he want out? Was it something Marquette did? Was it something with him? And I don't want a reason from him. I have no interest in hearing, you know, why he thinks he left, because I don't know that I would believe it at this point.
Right. I guess one guy I'm kind of a little salty with right now is Mick Cronin at Cincinnati, who supposedly kind of helped make this happen.
Really? Because I missed that.
Well, he is friends with the guy who is the AD at Virginia Tech was the AD at Cincinnati, and he and Cronin still have a good relationship. And so I think he kind of brought him and Buzz together, because obviously Cronin and Buzz are great friends.
Right.
And
well,
so I think
that
should
have been our first clue, maybe.
Yeah, but Buzz and Cronin stay in touch. Like when Cronin got ripped for tearing into TV Teddy Valentine.
Yes.
He said, guys like me and Buzz Williams have to deal with that. Cronin and Buzz are best friends, so I'm sure Buzz stays in touch with Cronin all the time and says, "Hey Mick, I'm looking to get out. Where do you think I could go?" And he probably brought up, "Know the guy who's at Virginia Tech right now, and he's probably going to fire his coach. I can put you in touch." So,
yeah. By the way, talk about stability. I mean, Virginia Tech's fired its last two coaches in the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well, Buzz got a 7-year deal, so if he gets fired after 1 or 2 years, he'll sit on the beach and collect a paycheck for 4 or 5 years before he gets back into coaching if he wants to.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know if Cronin really had anything to do with it, but it does make sense how this could have come together like that, about a school, Buzz probably doesn't know that much about.
Based on his public statement, he knows nothing about, because
great things. By the way, did you see Virginia Tech posted a picture in their article today welcoming
Scott
Buzz?
Monarch?
And it was Scott Monarch. I fully expect Monarch to be hired, by the way, as an assistant at Virginia Tech.
I do too. Well, and that's some of the questions that maybe we're not quite there yet. But what assistants, if any, follow Buzz to Virginia Tech? What does it do for the continuity of the program? But I do want to circle back to the Big East thing again. Like, is the Big East really? I get that if you want to, if you want a top 10 player in the country, that the conference is going to influence that. They want to be on TV all the time. I understand that. But for what the kind of recruits Marquette is competing for, top 50, top 100 type recruits, is the Big East versus the ACC going to make that much of a difference that you go, again, no offense to Virginia Tech, but you leave what should have been a premier school in the Big East to go to a bottom feeder in the ACC?
I guess my only thing I can say about that is the fear of the big rumor that the football power conferences are going to break away and form their own league, and there will be another division of the NCAA that'll have football schools and then all basketball schools like the Big East and Ohio Valley they'll all have their own separate tournament. And I think that's maybe that's a fear of that happening long term, and that's why he wants to go to a football school. I guess that's my only logical thing there. But I think the Big East can recruit just as well as anyone. There's some great talent coming into the league next year. I think Seton Hall could win the freaking league next year with some of the guys they have coming in.
Right. And you make that move because of that fear, that you can, when that happens, you can make that move then. If that factored in, fine, good riddance.
Yeah. Again, that's the thing I still can't get over. He left just to leave.
Yes.
I think there will be better jobs coming up this offseason.
Yeah, Oklahoma for the end of the tournament, there would be better jobs available.
For example, I could see Oklahoma State opening up.
Yep.
I don't know how much trouble Travis Ford is really in, but I could see that job coming open, and I could see Buzz loving that job. And I'm sure there will be an NBA team that will hire a big college coach, and then that job may become open. You know what I just thought would be hilarious would have been if the NBA hires Hoiberg from Ohio State, as has been rumored for a while, and then Buzz goes to Ohio State and says, "Hey, Jameel, it's me again." Iowa State.
"Hey, yeah. McKay, how's it going?"
"Time to transfer again, buddy." But no. But I do think there will be better jobs coming up, and I just question why Buzz didn't wait for one of those. But I do want to circle back to Crean again. Comparing Buzz and Crean, and I always wondered, and now I guess now we're going to start to get a feel, how people would feel about Tom Crean after Buzz left. Because you always hate the guy who left you last.
Yes.
And now that Crean is the next to last guy, who would you say, and this is the thing I struggle with Buzz, because the thing I always ask, once you take a step back and take a deep breath after a coach leaves, the thing you ask is what? Did he leave the program in better shape than he found it? With Crean, it's obvious. It is a unquestionable yes.
Yes.
Because, the team, because when he took it over, it was an NIT bubble team, a team that wasn't even going to the NIT. He got him in the tournament all the time, and he left Buzz, as it turned out, with a team loaded with seniors that had just pretty close to Final Four talent, really.
Right.
And they and he had gotten Marquette into a new league, the great Big East as it was at the time. So Crean, without question, left Marquette in better shape than he found it. Now, Buzz, I struggle with it because on the plus side, we talked about those 3 years of three straight Sweet 16s were his a great run. So he definitely put some skins on the wall and raised the profile a little bit. But as far as the way he actually leaves it for the next guy, I mean, there's some talent missing. There's some talented players who we think will still be there. We'll get to that in a minute. But, I mean, there's going to be leadership missing, a lot of unproven guys. And now some of it is not Buzz's fault, but to be fair, with, as we talked about, the new Big East the way it is and the Fox Sports 1 deal. So you can't put that on Buzz. But did Buzz truly leave it better than the way he found it? I think that's debatable.
I think it's debatable. And again, this is why I go back to that rant from the beginning. If Buzz was all about the relationships and the people and the doing the best for Marquette and doing the best for the character, he stays at least 1 or 2 years to ride out the change in administration, to ride out the Big East opportunity. You know, so he chose to take a different path. Which I think, like I said, reveals his character. And the Big East, you know, did he leave it better than he found it? You're absolutely right. It's 100% debatable. I don't think it's worse off than it was. I think it's not as good as it was with Crean. But it's really going to come down to, and this is where it gets nervous because you don't have a president or an athletic director. It's the next hire that's going to determine whether Buzz left it better than he found it.
Yeah. And yeah.
Because it's so going to we'll be see. Up to that person to retain the talent that's there. I certainly think there's talent. One bright spot, Derek Wilson probably doesn't play 32 minutes a game next season.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing to me is, you know, a new coach is going to probably open up all the starting spots.
Yep.
And we'll see who comes back and who doesn't. But, yeah, you know, to be fair, I one more thing I want to touch on with Buzz before we kind of look at Marquette's future. I don't like throwing back old quotes in his face because times change and things change. When Buzz, as you said, was an unproven coach and was only there 2 or 3 years, of course you say, I'll be here as long as they're going to have me. You never say something like, well, I'll stay here until I get a better job, of course.
Right.
You don't say, I mean, I just don't like throwing stuff like that back in his face because it's so out of context now. And also, like, the character revealed thing, I mean, thing is, he was committed to that at the time. It just, things changed for him, and things have changed since he did that whole character revealed thing. He wasn't happy, and Mark on Paint Touches threw a post up about this. Ultimately, what he is about, and I think we can all relate to this in our personal lives, he has to do what's best for him and his family. And even though we, most of us, will disagree, in Buzz's opinion, this is what's best for him. So if he thinks going to Virginia Tech is best for him, well, I hope he's happy there. Again, we can disagree. That's what we do on podcasts and blogs and all that stuff for. I personally don't think it's the best situation for him, but he was not happy at Marquette, so he had to leave.
Well, I agree. I agree with it from that personal perspective, and I've thought about it. And yeah, you do what's best for you, and I totally get that, and I agree that with that. But again, his entire administration was almost kind of the sacrifice the individual for the betterment of the whole. And that's what he kind of campaigned on in terms of his principles. And if you followed him on Twitter, there always seemed to be a lot of, you know, scripture and quotes around that kind of concept. And clearly he went off and he did what was best for him. I don't begrudge him for doing what's best for him. I begrudge him because he made his principles out to be something different than doing the best for himself.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, there's a couple
like he
sides.
Sacrificed his principles for his earliest convenience, which, well, again, it's fine. That's human nature. We all do it. But at least be upfront about it.
Well, yeah, I guess it always sounds bitter and jilted for the team that
yes.
he left to say he's sacrificing things like that. But he's going to bring those same things to Virginia Tech. He's going to do character revealed thing and talk about the whole person. And everyone there is going to love him, and I don't blame him. I mean, if Buzz is your coach, you're going to like him a lot. If he leaves, you don't like him. That's why Marquette and the University of New Orleans both dislike Marquette right now.
Right. Well,
they're both dislike Buzz right now.
I'm curious to see. I would love to kind of, God willing and the crick don't rise, you know, 4 years from now if we're still doing this podcast, I'd love to see, you know, where Buzz is at with Virginia Tech. I mean, did they take off? Did he, you know, get unhappy there and go somewhere else? It'll be very telling. This is one of those things where, like you said, immediately you feel jilted and you react and you lash out. But with the distance of time and some healing, you know, does it kind of reveal what things were, what it was really like
I think that'll be the thing. Like 3-4 years from now, or who knows, maybe way down the road, when whoever comes into Marquette next leaves Marquette, how people will view Buzz then, and like where Buzz is. Because I think maybe people kind of looking back a little more favorably now on Crean, because I think, as we've said, leaving for Indiana is something you can kind of understand. But
right. The thing is, I don't look any more favorable on Crean. I still feel all the same ways I felt about Crean at the time. You know, he left in a poor way. I get why he left. I felt a little bit betrayed. But like I said, I feel, now again, it's immediate, let's revisit this a year from now, but I feel in the short term worse about the Buzz thing, because I think it was a deeper wound, if you will. It was a lot more illogical, which to me,
it makes it look like Marquette is a bad place to
right.
be, really, which I don't think is the case, but that's the way it looks like. It
right.
looks like
and,
this
and,
is a place that people don't want to be.
That also doesn't help. So Marquette's got to go out and hire a coach. What's one of the first things that coach is going to ask? Okay,
what the
so
heck happened to Buzz?
Right.
What did you guys do to Buzz?
Right, so Buzz was all in with you guys, and you chased him off. What the heck? Like that.
Here's my question. I would love to know. Let's say for one of these candidates who really wants the job calls Buzz. What would he say about the place?
Yeah, that's very.
And we would never know. And we would never know. One last thing I want to touch on Buzz. That let's say, you know, again, seemingly from everyone who talks about him, seems like a good guy and a nice guy and a likable guy, and he'll do good things in the community in Blacksburg. But I think ultimately he would love to be at a bigger job. Be at a huge job, like a place that we can win national titles. And my concern for him, if I'm looking out for the best for Buzz, in 2, 3, 4 years, when, say, a job like Texas or North Carolina or Kentucky or Kansas or a place like that opens, would he even be the first choice? Like, would he be, if he's, I don't know, perennially in the bottom half of the ACC, is he still going to have the name and the buzz, for lack of a better term,
right,
that is going to get him a job like that? I don't know. I think if he sits, like, perfect example, Frank Martin, Kansas State. Remember him?
Yep.
People forget he's at South Carolina right now.
Yep.
You know, and he just went 5-13 in the league. A few years ago, would he have been a hot name for big jobs?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is he right now?
No. No, yeah. I don't think so. Well, and the other thing, you look at the other side of the coin. You look at someone like Shaka Smart, who may or may not come on up in our discussion again coming up. He's staying at VCU. I think one of the reasons he's staying is he's waiting for one of those big-time jobs to open up. He's reasonably comfortable where he is. He can have, you know, continued success, maybe even the same as, like, Mark Few. Mark Few's continuing to have good success in Gonzaga, so he keeps his name relevant without, you know, having to jump and risk taking a negative hit on his reputation. And then when a big job opens up in the next year, 2, 3 years, then it's time. They're playing the smart waiting game. I feel like, and that's, again, the thing that comes back that you say, what the heck's wrong with Marquette? I don't know that it is wrong with Marquette, but he jumped to jump. So what the heck made him jump, knowing that he could have, you know, kind of just mailed it in, for lack of a better phrase, for a couple of years till a really big Indiana-type job opened up?
Yeah. And I think now, as we're kind of transitioning into the names that are popping up, we're just going to speculate on a few names here, just give some general ideas of maybe what direction Marquette should go. I think there are kind of three categories that I look at when we're talking about, maybe four, when we talk about what type of guy Marquette is going to hire. There's the reach. There's the guy who is probably way out of Marquette's league and they're not going to get. There's the guys who are great names, a guy people are going to recognize but may or may not be a great fit. And then there are the realistic hires the guys that probably would be a good fit and are also very attainable. And then there's the bottom half, which would just be the total bomb of a hire that no one would like. But and you going back to Shaka Smart in your discussion there, I think I put him in that reach category. And I, by reach, I mean he's a guy that would probably say no, but you call just to make sure he's going to say no.
Right. Well, and like I said, you that's somebody you want. Again, that's somebody that everybody goes, aha, that makes sense. That's something we want. So you give it a go. You're right. He probably says no, and I think just for the very reason that. And we're not going to bash Marquette because we love the school. We spend time doing an internet podcast.
We wouldn't do a podcast if we
right.
didn't enjoy
for free.
The school.
Nobody is paying us to do this. In fact, we may be paying people to listen to us. But Marquette is not a Kansas, a North Carolina, an Indiana, a Kentucky. So I like I said, I think Smart says no simply because he wants to make the last jump where he can be a legend. Could he be a legend at Marquette? Sure, absolutely. But it's not the top 10 program in the country.
Right. And, you know, you basically echo the thoughts of a guy I work with down here in Texas who is a VCU alum. And he says the exact same things about Shaka Smart. He says his view of it, obviously Shaka's trademark is that Havoc defense, that full court press.
Right.
They call it Havoc there at VCU. And he says the fear with Shaka is that Havoc strategy would get exposed in a major conference against big teams. And he said Shaka would rather probably just build his legend quietly at VCU until the job he can't refuse comes up. Me personally, I see eventually Shaka Smart landing at Texas or a job like Florida or Louisville if they ever open up.
Well, I mean, I don't buy the whole – I mean, and this isn't a VCU or a Havoc defense podcast, but I don't buy the whole the defense would be exposed. I mean, Louisville runs a modified press. The press has been proven for years to be effective. In fact, I think it's not used nearly enough because coaches are unwilling to go kind of out to the extreme, and because they think if they aren't successful that they'll that exposes them. But be that as it may, yeah, he's looking for a destination job where he's going to stay for 20, 30 years. And I think Villanova actually makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of continuity there. You know, Patino's, you know, kind of in the same kind of coaching mentality standpoint. So I don't think Shaka's coming here. It'd be great. He's from Wisconsin, but...
Yeah, he is. And like I said, he's just one of those guys that I think you just called just to make sure he would say no.
Right.
And I think two other names that I've seen thrown out there, I put in the same category. You call just to make sure, but I'm pretty sure that's not happened. One, I saw Goodman throw this one out, which was interesting. He threw Greg Marshall at Wichita State out there. And I think he's in a similar situation where he would probably just hang around at Wichita State and build his legend until a major job calls him.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Greg Marshall has talked about not wanting the stress of a high major, you know, a high program and stuff like that. You ask, you see, and I mean, Wichita State has been built, but you know, that's always the risk you have with these guys that have been at these, you know, VCU is starting to turn into a name and Wichita State is starting to turn into a name. But, I mean, let's be honest, you know, the Wichita State being is kind of similar to Butler, those teams are kind of happy to be there. Right, wrong, or indifferent with what Buzz has done in the last six years, look at the reaction of this year where it was a down year. Everyone was just besides themselves with depression and fury over the season Marquette had. You know, there is some pressure to be had at a high-level program where expectations are higher than, say, a Wichita State or a VCU. So that coach has to be ready to make that jump.
If you're going to coach at any level in college, really, you can't have rabbit ears. You can't listen to the radio. You can't read the newspaper. You just do what you believe is right, and you just deal with the, you know, politely deal with the questions at post-game press conferences. But other than that, dude, just shut it all out.
Well, I agree, but I mean, look at Buzz this year. I mean,
boy, he got his feelings hurt. There's no doubt about it. I think we are the reason he left. Honestly.
Oh, you know what? Let's go with that answer. It seems as logical as anything else.
Well, you know, scrambled eggs is going on. Scrambled Eggs has been going on for two seasons now. Buzz has had his foot out the door for two seasons. Maybe there's a correlation.
Right. I also have a tiger rock that prevents tigers from being here. You know how I know it works? There are no tigers.
No tigers. That's true. I need to get myself one of those tiger rocks.
I'll sell it to you. Real cheap.
Okay. We'll talk prices. You can email or tweet at Phil for your own Tiger Rock. We're trying to supplement the fees.
Start the bidding at $10.
Very good. But anyways, we kind of go through some more names. I'm just going to throw a few names out there that, you know, you can comment on one on them if you like them or not. You know, Ben Howland's name has been thrown out there a lot, former UCLA coach, former Pitt coach. He is certainly a name.
Right.
Is he a fit at Marquette? I don't know. What? Kevin O'Neill's name was thrown out there today. I mean, that to me, that sounds like, you know, well, we've been there, done that.
Right.
You know, not that Kevin O'Neill's not a bad guy. He did good things at Marquette, but we have been there and done that.
Well, the one thing I would say with Ben Howland, the only thing, you know, just a brief comment on it, is the only thing I would say with Ben Howland that makes sense, it's not a hire I would necessarily want, but it does make sense from the standpoint, again, we've talked about the administration, and apparently nobody is, I mean, we've got interims, but there's nobody there permanently running the university.
Right.
Ben Howland is a very solid, if you will, caretaker choice. You can have him in charge for 2, 3, 4 years, bring in the new administration, and then he may be looking to move on to a different job, or it works out. You know, you're with Ben Howland, you're probably going to get a solid level of performance, so you can kind of ride through the storm until you get administration in place that feels comfortable, and then they're ready to perhaps make the next hire 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, and you kind of accept that. I don't know that that's where we want to be, but it makes sense.
Couple quick thoughts I had on Howland. One, he's been to the highest level already. He's been to UCLA, and because of that, I'm not sure he would quickly jump to another job.
That's true.
And the other thing I would say about him, he recruited at a very high level, obviously getting the likes of Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook and Darren Collison and getting to 3 Final Fours. But could he recruit at that level in Milwaukee? That would remain to be seen. But I don't think you can question him so much as a coach. I think as a coach, he's well-respected. There were some rumors that, you know, maybe he was a little unlikable behind the scenes at UCLA, and that's why guys like Bill Walton were all over him and trying to push him out the door. I don't have no idea what went on behind closed doors at UCLA. There's stuff out there if you want to read it on the message boards about what happened with Josh Smith, but whatever. It's out there. I don't feel like throwing on
it doesn't really matter. Anyway, who knows what, who's got the truth.
But anyway, those are kind of the Howland and O'Neill kind of fit the names, not necessarily right guy for me. I don't know that much about Ben Howland behind the scenes, but he definitely is a name. Then there's a list, in my opinion, of guys who are attainable and may or may not be great hires. But I'll just throw a few of these names out there. They are Archie Miller at Dayton, Saul Phillips, Better Call Saul, North Dakota State. I would, you know, if for no other reason, I would love the Better Call Saul signs that would be out at Marquette games next year if he were hired. Mike Hopkins, who was the coach in waiting at Syracuse. He's been at Syracuse since 1996. Brian Wardle, of course, a former Marquette player who's at UW Green Bay. And a name that I don't know if it's out there that much, but I was thinking about it, and actually David Kamichik tweeted me about it, just his thoughts. Danny Manning at Tulsa would be another guy that I would find kind of interesting. Are those guys the right guys? Are they great fits? I don't know, but I think they're all attainable from Marquette's perspective.
Yeah, I agree with the attainable. I guess the question I really have around the coaching, whoever's the next coach, is, what are we going to be looking for? What are the key attributes? I mean, because you could look at a coach that's already established at a program, or do you look at a high-level assistant? Do you promote within? I mean, Isaac Chu sitting on the bench, and presumably, you know, based on internet rumors again, we paid a significant amount of money to lure him away from Illinois, so Marquette's got to have some value in that. You know, right. So do you look at, you know, a coach in waiting, a coach that's already been there at a level of some sort? Do you look at a Ben Howland that's been there, done that? I tend to drift towards the middle. I don't really want an assistant that's not proven themselves at a, you know, at the top level in terms of being that basketball CEO. And I also kind of don't want the been there, done that, because are they really going to have the passion and the drive to make the program what it's capable of?
Yeah, I definitely don't want a guy who's going to look at Marquette as a stepping stone. And this past year or two, maybe he didn't think this way originally, but the past couple years, Buzz definitely looked at Marquette that way.
Yep.
Because he was looking to get out and looking to move on. And you had, you know, maybe he was 99% committed to Marquette, that's not enough, in my opinion.
Right.
You have to be 100% committed to the school and believe that Marquette can, I don't know, even if you don't believe they can win national titles, you got to believe that they can be consistently ranked and in contention to go to the Final Four regularly. At least be in contention to win the Big East every year. That's what you have to believe about Marquette. You need a coach who can believe that and get behind that idea. And again, I'm not saying Buzz wasn't trying, but I just wasn't sure he was totally committed to Marquette in the last year. And so, like, I think a lot of those guys would be. And to your point about coaches in waiting, that's my only reservation about Hopkins, because wouldn't he go right back to Syracuse as soon as Boeheim retires, which could be any day now?
Yeah, it should be. But yeah, he would absolutely, I think, would go there. And
I'm sure that would even be in his contract. I'm sure there would be an out clause for Syracuse in his contract.
Right.
And he might do a great job at Marquette in the meantime, but that would just be my one concern with him.
Oh, yeah. Why would you invite instability in the future? Because that's what everybody would be thinking. Whether it was true or not, everyone would be thinking that in the back of their mind. One, and to your point around the stability, I mean, the question is, you know, if you want someone to come that believes Marquette is the destination, then do you maybe reach it a little bit? Because you could have somebody like a Dwayne Stevens, who was an assistant under Crean at Marquette, then and is now currently, I believe, an assistant under Izzo at Michigan State. You know, I don't know if he's someone, you know, like Brian Wardle's names get thrown out there. Okay, I would have to think, since he played at Marquette, it would kind of be a dream destination. But do we really? No offense to Brian Wardle, but he just hasn't proven it at a high enough level.
I think that's the fairest thing about Wardle. Like, I like the guy, and I think he's doing a good job at Green Bay. I just think it just seems a little too soon for me for Wardle. And the thing is, in a couple years, he may be the guy everybody wants. But I think right now, I'd like to see him win a few more conference titles, maybe go to the tournament, win a couple games in the tournament, and maybe even land a couple big recruits at Green Bay.
Right.
Then I think I'd be a little more confident. It just seems a little too soon, because it doesn't seem like that long ago that we saw him at Caffrey's.
Right, exactly.
That just seems so recent in my memory.
Yeah, well, and it's really one of these things, like, you know, maybe that makes the argument for, say, a Ben Howland type. You know, so you say, I throw caretaker out there, and it has a negative connotation, but you say Ben Howland, run the program for 3, 4 years, 5 years, make it as good as it possibly can be, and then maybe in that 3, 4, 5 years, you know, or somebody like Howland, you know, over that 3, 4, 5 years, maybe Wardle comes into his own, and Marquette says, okay, we've got our long-term solution. You know, you kind of use, no offense to the Phoenix, but you use UW Green Bay kind of as a development league for your coaches.
That almost sounds disrespectful, but it is kind of true.
Right.
Because, you know, unless Brian Wardle is hired at Indiana in the meantime, he's a guy who would probably always be willing to accept the Marquette job.
Right.
You know,
you don't have to make the reach now.
Yeah, unless he makes a huge jump here in the next 2 or 3 years, even if he leaves Green Bay this year, which I don't know if he is. I don't think he would. I don't think he would be jumping up so high that he would be at a program higher than Marquette.
Right.
So you could go get Brian Wardle later,
right,
and after he's truly proven himself. And maybe he is a great coach. I'm just not 100% sure yet.
Right. Well, and you know, and there's other names that thrown out there, because I kind of get into when you're picking the next coach, you know, some of it, you know, I don't know whether it's appropriate, you know, some people around Milwaukee have thrown out some of the coaches within the Bo Ryan coaching tree, like Rob Jeter's name came up real briefly, which I immediately dismiss. But there's some other coaches there, and then another one that I saw thrown out there was I cannot pronounce his last name, Steve Mussello at Manhattan.
Okay. Patino coaching tree.
Right. Came out of the Patino coaching tree. And maybe this makes me an elitist or a jerk, but I immediately dismiss that as an option because I know he came out of the Patino coaching tree.
Well, to be fair, Shaka Smart kind of did too.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he came from Billy Donovan, who came from
That's true. But I can at least rationalize 2 degrees of separation.
Fair enough.
That's a question. Do you care what their style is or what their...
I definitely care what their style is. I would love, you know, I think Marquette fans like fast-paced off, you know, a fast-paced team, a team that's going to score a lot, a team that likes to run a little bit.
I think one of the negatives this season was not just the fact that we were losing, but that we were losing with such poor offense. I think if Marquette had had, like, exciting offense but was still losing, not that everyone would have been happy with it, but it just wouldn't have felt as depressing.
Yeah, like our buddy Ruby Q over at Anonymous Eagle likes to say, if you're going to be bad, at least be bad and interesting.
Right.
Don't be bad and boring, because right. that's the worst combination. And Marquette was bad and boring this year.
Yep.
And, yeah, hopefully whoever comes in will be able to, you know, jumpstart this offense, and we'll find ways to do it, whether guys coming in or the guys who are returning. And I guess if we're done speculating about coaches, I'd like to talk about, at least briefly, about those guys.
Well, real quick, before we pivot away from the coaches, I'm not going to necessarily speculate about coaches, but I shockingly came prepared to this podcast, and I wrote down a list of things that I think, you know, attributes around a coach. Just out of curiosity, what you think, which of the one or two of these is the most important in the next hire? Where do you think it would go? So the list is recruiting, player development, you know, basketball CEO, someone that can run a program at a high level, you know, coaching X and O's, media presence, experience, and style of play.
That's a lot. I mean, obviously I want all of that.
Well, obviously you want all of that, but which two or three of those, which are your most important, you think, for this?
I definitely like the thing is, I like what the basketball CEO thing, because that filters into so many other things.
Right.
A guy who is comfortable in his own skin, can take criticism and just let it roll off his back and not even think about it, and who knows that this is my program and we're going to do it my way, and I don't care what any of you guys say, as long as I'm winning, we're doing it this way. So I definitely want like the basketball CEO thing. So a guy who's going to be in charge of the program and know what he's doing. And I think player development is big.
Yeah.
Because and I think that's kind of dovetails with recruiting, obviously. But what good is a five-star recruit if he never does anything? You know, if he never becomes any kind of contributor. I'd much rather have Devontae Gardner than Eric Williams.
Right.
You know, Eric Williams, the top 100 guy who really never became anything, versus Devontae Gardner, who was a relative no-name who was turned into an all-conference player and was basically Marquette's best offensive player this past year.
I think player development
is important.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The player development is actually the big one, because some could attribute it, and it'll sound like sour grapes, but there's some out there that don't think Buzz was very good at developing players. I've kind of got a mixed bag on that. But you could make the argument that any recruiting, you know, recruiting is inherently hard. But if you get some kind of talent, you can develop it into something. So I think the player development and probably I agree with the basketball CEO, but I think player development and kind of just the X's and O's and being able to coach up the teams, I think are the two critical things. You know, I don't really care about the media presence. I mean, we kind of had that.
That's actually
with
what I was going to bring. That's what I was actually going to bring up next. Is I think the most overrated thing there is media presence, because if you win, you can be the biggest jerk in the world.
Yes.
And no one cares. See Bill Belichick or Greg Popovich.
Yes,
like those guys can't, or Bob Stoops. Those guys can't stand the media and try to get out of interviews as quickly as possible. But they win, so everyone loves them. So, right. I mean, it's great when you have an adorable coach who's hilarious and has great sound bites and is funny on TV and all that stuff, but I would rather have a jerk who wins than a clown who doesn't.
Right, exactly. Well, and it goes back to, and maybe again, this makes me sound like a scorned lover, I bought all in on the Buzz in terms of the, you know, the whole package thing, and we're creating great humans, and obviously I still want us to do that, but I just want a coach that comes in, coaches basketball, wins games in a, you know, I don't want him to cheat or, you know,
right.
have shady players, but, you know.
Let's make sure the kids graduate and right. represent the school.
Let's achieve that kind of the basic contribution to society, if you will. But at a minimum, I just want a coach that wins and puts a good product out on the floor. I think that's where I'm at now. Maybe I've been beaten down, but I just want a team that puts a good product that wins.
Yeah, and bottom line, I think the lesson going forward, don't get too attached to coaches going forward, because odds are the next guy Marquette hires will probably be there 5 years-ish, and then we'll be moving on to the next one. That's just kind of the way it is. It would be great if the next guy Marquette hires is there for 15 years, but I think we all know that's unrealistic. I mean, that really never happens anywhere, not even at, like, Kansas.
Right.
You know? I mean, guys are always, you know, moving on to bigger opportunities or retiring once they've had enough. So
Al McGuire's not walking through those doors.
He is not. we'll see who does walk through those doors. And whoever it is, hopefully, can put just a better team on the floor out there next year than was out there this year. And I think that's largely going to depend on what players are there. And I think that's the question a lot of people are wondering right now. And by the way, you at your computer right there sending tweets to recruits asking if they're coming or not, stop. Just stop.
You're what's wrong with the internet.
You just look so sad. Ahmad Hill, are you coming? Please come to Marquette. We want you to come to Marquette. Leave him alone. He doesn't even know. The kids who are verbally committed or who have signed their letters of intent, they don't even know right now. Because honestly, putting myself in their shoes, they're probably thinking, I liked Marquette. I liked the school, but I really liked Buzz. But I don't know where I would go. Because a lot of the schools who were second on my list probably are full on scholarships right now, and I don't know if they have a spot for me. So a lot of them are probably going to wait to see who the new coach is, meet the new coach, and see if that's a guy they want to play for. So I would ask, number one, shut up, and two, patience. Just let the kids breathe a little bit, especially the kids who are 2 years out. Like I saw people tweeting it and reporters asking, sorry if I'm saying his name wrong, Nick Muscoviac, the kid in the 2016 class. I mean, the kid is 2 years out. He's verbally committed. He doesn't have to commit to anyone right now.
Right.
And he said the right answer. He said, I am still verbally committed to Marquette. That is the correct answer, because verbal means absolutely nothing.
Right.
He can stay verbally committed, and if Marquette hires a guy he doesn't like, he can say, I'm sorry, I'm looking elsewhere, and I want to take all my visits in my senior year. Totally fine.
Yeah, and you know what? To tell you the truth, I don't begrudge any recruits that change their minds. I get it. I understand. But I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, yes, we're all passionate Marquette fans. We all want to win, and we all want the players to come. We're excited about them. But good Lord, you just kind of look like the desperate person begging for a date to someone to ask you to prom. Like, it's unnecessary and it's ugly, and Marquette can be better than that.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line, those kids are all sitting at home with their parents right now, thinking, Mom and Dad, what should I do?
Right.
What do you think I should do? And they're all just kind of in a holding pattern until Marquette hires a coach. So right now, for your own sanity, just assume that none of them are coming.
Yep.
And just be pleasantly surprised when a few of them do. I think, by contrast, I remember when the last coaching change, Marquette lost a couple and they got a couple back. I'm a little bit off here, but as I recall, Otule and Eric Williams were both verbally committed and they both kept it.
Yep.
And then there was Nick Williams and Tyshawn Taylor who changed their mind.
Yep. And Nick Williams followed Crean to Indiana and Tyshawn Taylor went to Kansas.
And there may have been one other. It was Jimmy Butler and Joe Fulce might have been the next class.
No, Joe Fulce was committed. And then Jimmy Butler was the add-in once Tayshaun Taylor was released.
Okay, all right. Maybe the timeline's a little bit off there, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Most likely Marquette is going to lose a couple and keep a couple. So we'll see. And there was a rumor out there that Malik Harris, the kid from Chicago who sat out his entire senior season, is now going to go to Virginia Tech. But that was just a prediction, just to be clear, by 24/7 Sports. That is not a report. So I think they're still trying to work that out. But, Marquette being oversigned or overcommitted by one is probably a good thing right now, as some guys are probably inevitably going to change their minds. I guess the other thing is people are concerned is the word, but people are curious about what some of the current guys are going to do.
Well, and this is also to echo your previous statement of assume all are gone until you hear otherwise.
Right.
You know, Deontay Burton yesterday, when contacted by Michael Hunt at the Journal Sentinel, said, I'm staying regardless of Buzz leaving. Okay, he said that yesterday when it was fresh. And he's a kid. He's allowed to make his own decisions. That may change based on a whole number of factors. So, just assume that there is no team until you hear otherwise.
Yeah. Assume Marquette currently has an empty roster next year and you're waiting for everyone to commit to get up to 12 or 13 players. Dwayne Wilson also said that he's coming back on Twitter. Again, I'm not holding any kid to anything he said on Twitter yesterday. We're just going to wait and see. But I think it makes a lot of sense for Dwayne to stay because I don't think he wants to have to sit out 2 years.
Right.
Before he can play again.
And some of his other tweets, and again, we're not going to go into full Twitter tracker mode, but some of his tweets, he was definitely upset and and a little bit hurt by what went down. But, you know, so again, you got to let them process those emotions. I mean, as fans, we're having emotions about this. Imagine being a player in the program, you know, someone who was leading your team and, you know, you kind of signed up with to play. Because let's be honest, the school is almost a secondary thing to the coach because you're looking at for style of play, playing time, etc. You know, they've got to process this stuff.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we'll see. And, you know, there are other guys in the roster. I will say this. Some people speculating about some of the younger guys, some of the freshmen. This is just me, pure speculation, just thinking out loud. I think those guys might be more likely to stay now.
Yeah.
I think they would actually, some of those guys who didn't get to play at all this year, hardly at all, they may be, like, looking at the new coach saying, this is like transferring without leaving the school. Because I'm going to a new program and I might get a fresh start and get a chance to earn a starting spot.
Right. Well, and you know, I casually joked earlier about Derek Wilson, you know, not playing 32 minutes a game next year. I mean, that's certainly a possibility that, you know, you've got John Dawson and Dwayne Wilson may get the lion's share of minutes. I mean, if you assume the younger players have more talent than the older players, I'm not saying that's necessarily true one way or the other. That's for the next coach to decide. But if you assume that, then the players have to assume, all right, I'm more talented. I'm going to have an opportunity to win minutes and might as well stay here and get those minutes. I think it's much more likely for players on the roster now to stay than it is for players that are signed national letter of intent to stay or to continue to come. We're much more likely to lose incoming recruits than we are current players on the roster.
Yeah, I actually would agree with that because, I think some of the guys who are on the roster now might be find playing time elsewhere hard to come by, or they may think their best opportunity to play may just be under a new coach. But we'll see. There's a lot to sort out here over the next few weeks, and I guess our next podcast, Phil, will probably be after Marquette names a coach.
Yeah, so who knows? The question is, when is that going to be?
Yeah, I Marquette isn't necessarily in a rush because the spring signing period is still a ways off, and I'm sure there are probably teams who are still alive in the tournament with coaches Marquette might want to talk to. We mentioned Greg Marshall earlier. I don't know if Marquette's pursuing him or not, but if they are, they would probably at least wait till Wichita State is eliminated and they can talk to Greg Marshall.
VCU, VCU's out now, so they could talk to Shaka.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're going to do their due diligence. And granted, it's a shaky administration there at Marquette right now, but I'm still confident that the school will make a good hire and be patient and just hire the right guy. And, you know, our next podcast, we'll just break down who that guy is and what he will bring to the program, and then we'll just watch all the dominoes fall as far as the roster next year and see who's coming in and who's not. And then we'll kind of figure out what direction Marquette goes in the future. It's a little murky. It's a little uncertain. It's, you know, certainly nerve-wracking because obviously the wrong hire right now could send Marquette into, you know, the Mike Dean days.
Right.
Yeah, but the right hire could get Marquette right where it wants to be, and that's at the top of the Big East.
Well, so and one positive spin to this, or one, you know, mitigating the negativity. I mean, Bill Cords and Father Wild are in charge of the university right now. Yes, they're interim, which has, you know, having that interim tag is kind of a negative a little bit, but they've been through this before. They've made, you know, think what you will about Crean. They've made hires before that have significantly impacted.
Crean was a good hire. Crean and so was Buzz.
Right. They were both great hires. So it turned out okay. So we've got people with experience. Yeah, is there a little drag as a result of the fact that they're interim and maybe a coach is leery about what the next administration looks like? Sure. But these guys have made the hires before, so you got to put a little faith in the program that they can make another smart decision.
Yeah. I'm confident that Marquette will do a good job here and bring in a guy who cares about the university and wants Marquette to be a power in the Big East and hopefully beyond that and be, you know, dancing in March again very, very soon. So we'll see.
Let's be honest. Marquette is heavily invested in basketball being successful. So it's not like they're going to spend no time on this. They're going to do their absolute maximum best. So just have faith in the process and try and sit still for a little bit.
Yeah, just be patient, folks. Marquette's going to make a good hire, and hopefully current players and committed players get on board and Marquette can, you know, put a decent team out there that will be a step up from what we saw this past year, which may or may not have been a result of Buzz having one foot out the door. It was just a frustrating year. The thing is, this podcast was originally going to be a breakdown of the entire season and player grades, and but we've gone over an hour just talking about Buzz and the coach. So maybe we'll actually break down what happened this season in a future podcast. But
yeah, after I take a shower and relax for a couple of days.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we might even never break down this past season. Just pretend it never happened.
Yeah, it didn't exist.
As always, everyone, we appreciate you listening to Scrambled Eggs here on Crack Sidewalks. You can hit us up on Twitter at Crack Sidewalks, or I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M0OF23. You can hit him there to get your prices on Tiger Rocks.
And please bid early and often.
And also, you can find us on Facebook. There's a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page where we post the podcast, and you can also download us on iTunes as well. Final thoughts, Phil, as we wrap it up here?
No, I think everyone just keep calm and watch the process from afar and try and stay level-headed and stop texting recruits.
Maintain your composure. Maintain your composure. Can't be freaking out here.
We will put on the panic light when it's appropriate to do so. We're prone to panic anyway.
All right, relax until next time, everyone. Hope the coaching search is seashells and balloons.